Welcome back to You Squared with Transformational Life Coach, Christy Carotti. This is week three.
So we'll start with our gratitudes and our proud of. And so I will start and state my gratitude, and I'll state all of those things, and then I'll give a pause and let you write down yours. But we want to set the tone. Maybe it's not so important, but it's so valuable to set this tone this way, because our gratitude is the vibration of so many things. It's the vibration of abundance. It's the vibration of that, our vision and our dream. It's so many things. And so we want to set the tone of gratitude, the vibrational frequency. And that's like the warp of a weaving. I like to think of it as a weaving. And then something that we've accomplished, something we're proud of, makes kind of like the weft that then brings it all together. And our proud of, fading that out into the ethers, if you will, actually notifies I'm thinking of quantum physics right now. It aligns the strings down in the little quirks, you know, in the string theory, and aligns them and notifies them that this is the kind of person that you are. You are moving in this direction. And then, of course, stating a piece of our vision. And the warp in the weft makes the whole cloth. And actually what we're cutting out of it is that vision piece of it. What we're going to do today is we're going to explore the next four chapters that, if you look in your index here, last week I clarified that the first three chapters, the promise, the quantum leap, and you squared, were the introduction. And the first week we explored change your personal rules for success, quit trying harder, I've got that one asterisked, ignore conventional approaches, think beyond what common sense would allow, very potent. And then the second week, we went to suspend disbelief, focus on the ends rather than the means. That's about our vision and how powerful our vision is to move us in the direction of a life we love living. And then rely on unseen forces. You know, if you can do it all on your own, your dream is just not big enough. And then choose a different set of risks. Very potent as well. This week we're going to go through trust in the power of pursuit. Okay, remember this 3-month series that we're in is all about decisions. So that's a lot of what that's about. Now, I'm changing the title of the next chapter. It says Seek Failure, and I'm calling it Make Friends with Failure. Okay, and then get uncomfortable and open your gifts. And I think I have a see and use your assets. It's kind of like a subtitle for that open your gifts. Okay, so let's get started. You can see right there on page 23 that nice little quote, you've dreamed many dreams that were yours for the taking. Yeah, true. I mean, think about what we dreamed of as a little kid, you know, and all of those dreams were there. They were available for us. So, on page 24, about the third paragraph down, it says, consider this, the dreams you have realized in your life are those which you actively sought. Okay, so everything, if you look around your life, everything that you have accomplished in your life, there was a conscious direction, maybe even a subconscious, actually many times a subconscious direction that allowed us to realize those dreams. And what we're doing here in this work is we're becoming conscious about these invisible principles that are always at work and that are empowering us as we begin to learn them to use them. Just like the story of electricity again, that, you know, it always has existed throughout all of time, but now we're able to harness it and use it. You know, and this is the same thing now why we, first of all, craft our vision, our dream, and then we look at these laws and how we can move in the direction of our dream. But there is always an action in that has created all of these things that we have realized. I mean, well, think of a job that you've gotten that you've loved. right? You even haven't loved, right? There was an action in the direction there. And then, you know, however conscious you are, you get to choose the next direction. So the world behaves differently when you actually take action to go after what you want. What you wish could be starts becoming true, becoming reality. The dream moves you in the direction, begins to come to you even as you reach for it. And so remember that idea that I talked about last week, the wind, that just by holding that vibrational frequency, like the feeling tone, that imagining as if it's happening right now, when you do that, you become like the low pressure front. And the wind does not have any choice but come to that low pressure front. Okay, and part of how this works, and I think I've said this over the course of these last couple of weeks here, but I'm going to say it again, is how what they've discovered in quantum physics, how things work. So we have the molecules, and what forms the molecules are particles, and what forms the particles are quarks, and inside of quarks, Q-U-A-R-K, quarks, inside of quarks are strings, little dancing filaments that are in there that are so minute that we can't even see them. And those are the things down in that very minute little thing called a quark that are there. They are vibration, and so they respond to vibration, and our thought as vibration goes out and starts shifting how those are aligning. And so if we think, let's say vacation, right? So since I mentioned that during my vision, vacation, for example, I'm leaving on the 15th of September to go on, I'm calling it the empty nest vacation. And so without us setting that intention, you know, we wouldn't have made the plane reservations. We wouldn't have, you know, but all of those things happen because I first started with the intention, right? And so then, so it's very important first to have that vibrational thinking thought. But one of the most important things is the action. So down at the bottom of page 24, I know some of you guys like to highlight these things in your book. Down at the bottom of page 24, U squared is firmly based on the premises of pursuit. Quantum leaps require you to take the offensive. Okay, it doesn't mean like swearing offensive. You can't achieve exponential gains in your success from a defensive posture. And even think, I'm not a big football fan, but, you know, the whole idea of being defensive, you don't get to go anywhere. You just defend about what's coming at you. And if you're offensive, you get to go where you want to go. And so it's the same thing. If you are just being defensive, you're actually responding to the conditions and circumstances that are around you, right? You're standing there, you're wielding off illness, you're wielding off bad relationships, you're protecting yourself from financial ruin, whatever it is, right? But we don't want to be in the defensive. We want to be in the proactive. I like to call it more proactive, in the forward moving motion of being proactive. You can't remain in a passive stance and make a quantum jump. And, you know, I used to be a high jumper. And, yes, I did. you know, to stand in front of that pole and just all of a sudden jump up, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet, whatever it is, right? You can't do that. You have to run and jump. And that's why it doesn't matter what kind of action you take, as long as it's action in the direction of your dream. In fact, to do that high jump, to make that high jump, you start with small little steps. That's not the jump, right? And so you ask yourself, what is a step in the direction? Step, right? Action. What is an action in the direction of my dream? Now, it does not even have to be, like, say you want to change jobs. It doesn't even have to be to submit a new resume. It may mean, you know, I'm just going to kind of explore on the internet. That's an action. And what it actually does is start aligning those little filaments, those little fibers down there in this most amazing universe that we live in, right? And then you move in the direction of that dream, right? But like this says here, you must move on the dream. This means you must leave the cover, the safety that goes with merely wishing for something. You must place your trust in action. What is a step in the direction of my dream? And then, okay, so that is trust in the power of pursuit. You cannot just wish this stuff into being. And you cannot, as much as we talk about how our thought is what is moving those strings, those molecules to form our vision or our dream, the thought alone does not make it happen. So remember the model I've talked about before, and it might be a new introduction. So if you have a pen and paper, this is a real great one to write down. So our thought through our emotion, and we're going to talk about that next week, through our emotion causes us to move into action, and it's that action that causes the result. Just like the chair I'm sitting in, there would be no chair I'm sitting in unless somebody had the thought. And my chair is, by the way, it's a purple office chair, no surprise, I bet, right? So somebody had the thought, there's going to be somebody out there, there's going to be a couple of somebodies out there that's going to love a purple office chair. So I'm going to make that, and then I'm going to sell it at IKEA, and, you know, and they had to take action to bring it into existence, to make it become real. Okay, so power of pursuit. You must take action, and small steps, or as long as they're in the direction, are what help you get the momentum to do this quantum leap, right? You are ready for this quantum leap, believe it or not. Okay, so next is, and you know, it really freaks people out to the idea of seek failure. But if you've been through the Dream Builder program, we actually have two different weeks in that program that we talk about failure. And that chapter in there is called Befriending Our Fears. And this whole idea of seek failure, we don't want to seek failure, really. It kind of makes the point here. But just like we don't want to pay attention to the accident on the freeway because then we become a part of the accident, we really want to just take the failure and make friends with it. And see, if we don't make friends with our failure, then it actually is still, it's kind of like never pulling that sliver out of your skin, right? It's always there and it's always bugging you. And we want to make friends with our failure. So on page 26, it's in the second chapter, about the third sentence, problems belong in this process. They are part of the equation that produces U squared. Everything looks like a failure in the middle. Okay, so it gives you some examples here. You can't bake a cake without getting the kitchen messy. Halfway through surgery, it looks like there's been a murder in the operating room. These examples you can read about in here. But what I love is that Edison was asked one time what it felt like to fail, whatever, 1,000 times. I saw today that somebody said he failed 1,000 times at creating the light bulb. And he said, I never failed once. It was all information. And so our failure, and that's why we want to make friends with our failure. So, for example, someday, I'll retell the whole story of the flying leap. But basically, it's the time I stepped into the room and took a flying leap. And in that moment, I made a conscious decision to be well. And what brought me to that point of being able to do that mid-air was all of the work that I had done before, unpacking all of my paradigms, replacing my paradoxical thoughts with new thoughts. And I made a choice there to be mid-air, about to fall flat on my face in a very embarrassing as well as terrifying moment, and choose to be well. And so that's, I mean, that could be considered a failure, but that was one of the most life-changing experiences that it was a real game changer for me. And so in any moment, you may think you're in the most uncomfortable or disappointing moment. And if you, in this practice, can in that moment say, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I can turn this failure into a stepping stone, into something that can serve me. Okay, and we can do that with every single one of our failures. So down towards the bottom of the page 26, it's easy to lose faith because other people may withdraw their support and be critical of your efforts. You know, being in this work, that can often be the case because people say, oh, who are you to think that you could, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, you got to be, I remember when I first came into this work 25 years ago or something, and my dad said, oh, you have to be careful of cults. You know, well, my dad became totally into this work as well and actually kind of became Buddhist, you know, through my being in this work. So that plus your own anxieties and uncertainty, Boogeyman and Delilah, can tempt you to turn on yourself. This is rigorous work. This is the rigor of the work right there, is to continue believing, okay, to know that your investment of time and of your vision and your dream is worthy of you, that you are learning and understanding these invisible principles and making them work, right? So it's constant work. It's constant work for me. I will tell you, there are moments in time, there are even days that I go, you know, really, really, you know, and then I stop. And I remember, and we're going to get to this tonight, we remember what we've accomplished already by knowing this. You know, I just had a call with my coach, and, you know, I was feeling a little bit down. I'm like, but I've been in this work so long, and why aren't I further along? She says, stop and pay attention to where you've come. And sometimes unless we do that, we don't really realize how far we've come. I can do that with you guys, too, those of you especially that have been in the program for a while. I mean, what amazing shifts I've seen you all make, right? The stress, so this is a crucial point of the process. Don't give up. Failure belongs here. It's a sign of progress. And that's one of the reasons that my programs are 6 months. You know, Dream Builder's 3 months. So basically why I enroll people for a minimum of 6 months. It's just too easy to run away when things get hard. And that's kind of one of the reasons I didn't use the therapy model, because when people come into therapy, you know, and it's week by week, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that just disappear when it gets hard. You know, we're just like getting into the work and it gets hard. That's why I love this work, is because I am going to support you in moving through to understanding these principles and applying them to you. I've seen the changes in your guys' life. I mean, this is amazing. The stress will seduce you toward retreat to the safety of the status quo. Oh, you know what I do with this one? I go, haven't I changed enough lives? Isn't it good enough? Well, what if I would have said that before our dear Melissa, you know, ended up getting pregnant with our Owen? Owen might not be here. Right? I mean, case after case of, you know, so. Also, what keeps me in this work is the creativity, right? Oh, my gosh. You know, I can't stop it. Sometimes I just need to turn that faucet off of creativity. Like I was sharing with you last week, you know, I'm in this kind of creative mode right now, and it's mixed with, you know, the preparing of sending my son off, you know, so it's kind of like a really interesting place to be and to be aware and be an observer in my life. This is important. And so not to let the trap of the familiar, okay? Just remember this. Failure does not mean you're defeated. Now, people often get defeated before they let these principles take place. You know, there's the principle of the law of gestation. It actually, you know, just like it takes 21 days or 90 days for us to change a habit, when we start on a new vision or dream, we have to make it happen. You know, I did that actually when I first came into this work, when I first met Mary, when we lived up in Oregon. Let's see, Aaron was about 4 years old, so he's 17 now, so 13, 14 years ago. And I didn't have a personal relationship with her. I went to her center in that was 2 hours away, and we went occasionally. I also had a lot of connection with Michael Beckwith. And I remember we had secured a $1.5 million guaranteed federal loan to build a retreat center. And we had about $600,000 of our own money to put into this project. And it was like I just had too many paradigms and no container of support. I remember listening over and over to Michael Beckwith's visioning program and going to the center and listening to what Mary had to say and, you know, really trying to figure it out. But, you know, I gave up. And, you know, it was probably in its germinating process. And it's just like pulling up a seed, you know, you plant a seed and then you dig it up to see if it's growing, you know. And actually the struggle gives you strength. You know, we know the butterfly story, right? That if you pull a butterfly out of its cocoon as it's starting to come out of its cocoon, it actually will not have the strength to live and it will actually falter and die. Because that pushing itself out of the cocoon is part of how it strengthens its muscles and its wings before they come out and are needing their wings to fly. You know, don't interrupt problems or breakdowns as proof that you should quit, but instead take them as evidence of your growth and improvement. I was just on a call with somebody and I told her, I said, you know, the boogeyman's coming, right? As soon as we set our vision, right, the boogeyman comes and all the reasons that we shouldn't, couldn't, and wouldn't, you know, start facing us down and our friends start telling us, oh, you shouldn't, and, you know, and it's like I told her, actually, it's the good news because, right, we're here in the blueprinting phase, it was with her, and then there's the building phase, and in between that is the gap. And that's where the boogeymen and the Delilahs hang out in, and they try to stop us. But the good news is that as they come up, as we do these actions that cause them to start showing their face, then we can befriend them. Then we can take them and make them into our strength instead of into our failure. Isn't that powerful stuff? Just love it. Okay, so I love this one. It's very simple, right? Get uncomfortable. Is that idea of getting sweaty palms, right? If you don't have sweaty palms, your dream is not big enough for you, okay? And just think about the running of the high jump, right? You've got to get sweaty. You've got to get uncomfortable, especially the stretching of getting to that next height of jumping over that high bar. Uneasiness is a predictable psychological reaction when a quantum leap is underway. Okay, and it's also that paradigm thing too, right? If you're getting uncomfortable, you can also look and see, oh, is it something that's coming up to be healed that I can get out of the way for me to be able to jump over that high jump, right? Don't be surprised if you grow uneasy. That's a predictable part of the process. When you take the quantum leap, you ride the situation, but you don't really control it all that much. In fact, the only way you control it is by, number one, knowing where you're going, right? Having your vision in place. Number two, continuing the pursuit. That's the action, taking the action. And three, learning from your mistakes, right? Gathering that information. And it's just like surfing, right? You can kind of guess where that wave's going, but when you, I've only tried to stand up on a board a few times, but you know, when you get up on that board, your body has to respond this way and that way and tip your board that way and go this way. You know, actually what I like to relate it to is that I'm in this exercise class that we do a lot around balance. And one of the things that's most important about balance is strengthening our ankles, right? But when we are doing our balance work and standing on our foot, our ankle actually should be kind of wavering, and that actually strengthens the ankle. And the other thing about that is that with strong ankles, when you go to fall, you're more likely to catch yourself if you have strong ankles. And so that's like all of these things, you know, knowing where you're going, oops, but if you fall off, you learn from that mistake. Right, and you continue doing the action. Now, we also have talked in the past about the law of sacrifice, and I just want to talk about that in this arena of getting uncomfortable. And what the law of sacrifice is that it's letting go of a lesser to experience a greater. For example, you cannot be happy and joyful and being sad. Now, well, you can call it bittersweet, like this month is for me, but I've chosen to find bittersweet as a good flavor, right? Like those sours that the kids like to eat, right? So, but no, just kidding. Anyway, so you must let go of negative thinking in order to create a life you love living. You must let go of calling it a failure and calling it a learning in order to glean what that supposed failure has to give you, right? So the law of sacrifice is a really important law to be paying attention to as you're going through this work. When you want something, I don't know, today I went to my exercise class and they had a substitute, and oh my gosh, he worked us out. And although that was great, I came home kind of pooped, you know, and I went, oh, I've got to do, you know, get ready for my class, and I teach my class, and where am I going to get the energy? And I sat there, and I went, I know where I'm going to get my energy, right, from source. I'm going to plug into that infinite source, right? And part of that was my, how I do that is, one way I do that is by my, that experience of the flying leap when I was midair and I said, I am well. And I have that vibrational frequency like programmed in my forehead. And I even use that when I think I'm getting a scratchy throat or hear everybody talking about flu season. I start moving into that vibrational frequency of I am well. And so the vitality, the energy starts coming in when I plug into that knowingness, right? And I will tell you that I will, you know, these evenings after doing this, I do take some downtime because I love this work and just a lot of energy comes from me and through me as I do this. So I love that. Okay, so now we're going to go on to the last little piece. Let me look at the time. This is good stuff, right, you guys? So I'm going to open up the call here in just a minute. Oh, we've got a really good piece here to go on to, so I'll do it quickly. So open your gifts on page 29 is open your gifts. I have written a subtitle, See and Use Your Assets. Okay, you can read this information here. It's really potent. It's really great. But I'm going to give you, first of all, a little chart that I think I've talked with several of you before on, and we're going to talk about that because it's really a way. I mean, one of the questions is, you know, how do we discover confusing. How do we discover what our gifts are, right? And one of the ways that I've done that with each one of you on a discovery session and that you can do for yourself is actually using that personal guidance system and looking to our discontents, because our discontents tell us that's a not it. So then we can say, okay, so then what is it? And the question, so it's what is my discontent and what would I love? Now, what would I love goes beyond what would I want or what do I think I can have, right? And you really got to let that go. And if you could, that's where we use the magic wand, right? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you love? And what's hidden in that code of what you would love is your gift. Is your gift to give in the world. We all came here to give a gift, to give our gift in the world, our gift in the world. Okay, so here's another way to kind of figure this out and decipher this. So I want you to imagine a four-pane window, so it's a box with a plus sign in the middle, making four smaller boxes. And in the lower left hand, this is called the zones of. And in the lower left is our zone of incompetence. I'm going to tell you what these are, and then I'm going to go through them. And if you have a piece of paper, it's really a good idea to draw this out. This comes from the work of Gay Hendricks. And his book is called The Big Leap, I think it is. So in the lower left quadrant is incompetence, the zone of incompetence. The one to the right of it, so the lower right, is the box of zone of competence. That's things that you are good at. You know, you can do. You know, I can change a light switch. I used to do my own tune-ups on my car and, you know, change the gas and air filter the oil and the air filter and all of that. That's a competence. And then there is our zone of excellence, things that we are really good at. You know, one of the things I think I could always have, you know, if I would have chosen it as a career is, actually, I think I could have been a really great marketer. But, and so in that arena, I would call my zone of excellence, marketing would go in my zone of excellence. But then there's the zone of genius. That's the one on the upper left. So zone of excellence is in the upper right. Zone of genius is in the upper left. And what zone of genius is really where we can decipher what our gift is to give into the world, where our passion lives, what we would absolutely love. And, you know, mine always comes down to creativity and to serving others. And so, therefore, marketing is in the zone of excellence. Well, we can focus on those zones, our zone of genius. And what we want to do is, first of all, find someone else to do our things we're incompetent at. You know, this story in Gay Hendricks' book is about this multimillionaire who buys a new printer, and it took him 3 days to try and get his printer set up. And he finally went down the street to a teenage boy and said, could you come fix this for me? And he did it in 1 hour. You know, this guy, that is his zone of incompetence. It was a waste of time when, you know, his zone of excellence and zone of genius is in somewhere completely different, right? But this young man's zone of excellence or genius was in being able to understand these technical things. And that's why I have my assistant Nava, you know, to do all of those things. But I don't want those things to stick in my head. I really love the open field of creativity that happens in my brain. So you start exploring this, and when something comes up for you, so I need to book a booking for my work. And yes, I really want that. But is that my zone of excellence? You still do that, but we use the idea of zone of genius. Does your zone of excellence move you in the direction of your zone of genius? And of course, that's where your vision lives. Okay, so now, in order to open your gifts, as I said, the subtitle, see and use your assets. Now, I have asked most all of you here, I think, have written list of assets. I want you to pull that out, and I want you to see if you can find some of your uncommon assets or what people wouldn't normally think are assets. They might be in your quirkiness, not your quirks, your quirkiness, or you might look to, fun things that you did in the past. You know, one of my assets, for example, is, I just almost can't drive by somebody that's hungry without doing something about it. And the other day there was this man, and I just had to swing around, pull into the convenience store, buy him a sandwich, and drive back around and, you know, give him some food, you know. And that's an asset that I have that, you know, I came out of a restaurant one time and there was a guy sitting there. He wasn't even asking for anything, just could tell that he had, you know, no place to go. His clothes were dirty. And I just said, you know, here, have my leftovers. Oh, he was so happy. You know, so my kindness, that's one of my assets. But you can list some of the things that point to that, because you're going to see when we go on next week to fall in love. That's falling in love with your vision, falling in love. Okay, it's actually stoking the fire, is what we're going to talk about next week.